Well, good morning.
See you all. Welcome to St. Phil Road Presbyterian on this sun-shining bank holiday weekend. And it's lovely to see you here, if you're joining us here, or if you're joining us live online, or if you're watching a little bit later as we worship Jesus together. Well, on this lovely morning, Gavin's actually been outside taking a few pictures. I don't know if folks have been outside and seen the new little seating area and the community garden that we have there, but you can see some of the raised beds and the seating out there. If you're here this morning and you haven't seen that, do take a chance to wander around and have a little nose at the garden and have a seat outside, as that's developing, and a chance to invite others in and join us from the community in the garden and the seating there, and to use that in lots of different ways over the coming months, hopefully if the weather stays like this. Well, as the sun shines, that may mean that we come to worship in a good mood and happy and a little carefree. But maybe some of us come after a fractious week or carrying burdens or conscious perhaps of things we've said and done or things we haven't said or done. Psalm 130 encourages us as God's people to come, opening ourselves to the one we're made to worship and to depend on, and finding forgiveness in him and renewal as we put our hope in him. Let me read this psalm to you. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs now as we begin, both of them quite new, one very new. The first one will stay seated for. It's a new version of Psalm 130 that we've just read. I will wait for you. Grace and the singers and the band are going to lead us in that. We can stay seated if you know it at all, or pick it up as we go along, do join in. But if not, just listen and reflect on the words and pray it as you hear them. The second song we'll sing, and we'll just go straight into, is one we learnt just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we found it easy to pick up. So at that point, we'll stand and we'll sing together if we're here, or you can sing along at home, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Incline your ear to me anew.
Let's pray together. Our Lord God, the one to be feared and worshipped above all, the one who is our rock and our redeemer, our great hope in all things, our true source of never failing love. Lord, we, your people, come before you and acknowledge your holy presence with us. Lord, we delight to worship you. But in your presence, we also confess our need for mercy, for forgiveness. Father, without excuse, we have not been the people you have made or called us to be. We reflect even about the things we have or haven't said recently, where from our hearts and out of our mouths have spilled all too quickly careless words, hurtful words, proud words, cowardly words, no words at all when something should have been said. Lord, we thank you for your words of hope to us that point us to your living word given to and for us, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, how we thank you that even in our sinfulness we may know forgiveness and love. Renew us, we pray, as we worship you this morning. And by your Spirit, set your powerful words of life in us today, that we may live wisely and well for your glory. We've been looking in the past weeks, and we will for the next few weeks, at Proverbs, this 3,000-year-old book of wisdom. 3,000 years old. How can that be relevant for us today? Well, this book that points us to godly wisdom, wisdom that trusts in Jesus and is led by the Spirit, actually, like the rest of the Bible, couldn't be more relevant. Of course, the only words that are always relevant, no matter what century you live in, are eternal words, aren't they? And that bears out in Proverbs. Maybe you found that. Maybe you've been struck by particular Proverbs as you've been reading through. Let me encourage you to keep reading through Proverbs 10 to 29. Maybe you've been following that reading pattern we have, or you've dropped off for a bit. Don't worry, get back and reading through that. Maybe you've been struck by particular proverbs you've read of a day or of a week. 2 weeks ago, Alistair spoke to us about power and justice. And goodness me, they are burning issues of the day, aren't they? Over these next couple of weeks, I want us to see a little of what Proverbs has to say about a subject that will always be powerfully relevant for our lives, our words. Words are everywhere, aren't they? Spoken and heard, written and read. Undoubtedly, we have more images. We talk about being an image-based culture, don't we? Undoubtedly, we have more images on screens than any generation before us. But have we any fewer words? There are more books published, more stations and podcasts to listen to, more documents and messages generated, more conversations on more phones, communicating in more ways with more words than ever. If you do read through Proverbs 10 to 29, which, talking of words, is 10,000 words long and about 600 verses, you'll be struck of how many are about words and speaking. During the week, I read through those 20 chapters, those 10,000 words, and marked 113 verses. That's about 20%. That's one in every five verses is about words or speaking, or the tongue or lips or the mouth, the original device of word production, and still way out in the lead, no matter how many iPhones are produced. Let me, with that in mind, read this great introductory paragraph from our Proverbs study book about the power of words and of the tongue. It says this: from the sweet nothings of lovers to the barking commands of generals, words do things. They are powerful tools with enormous power to tear down or build up, to hurt or heal, to manipulate or mold. No wonder there are more individual proverbs about the tongue than about any other topic. In the everyday contexts in which we find ourselves, when we open our mouths, we reveal something of who we are, for good or ill. As I said, I want to spend 2 weeks looking at proverbs and words. This week, we're going to think about the power of words, appreciating their impact. Wise up about the power of words. Next week, we're going to apply that to how we best use words. Wise up about using words, or perhaps about not using words. But with that in mind, Norma is going to come and read to us. She's going to read from Proverbs chapter 12, verses 14 to 25. And then we're going to watch a short video with a few other Proverbs and Bible verses set to music to get us thinking. Thanks, Norma.
Proverbs 12, verses 14 to 25. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promise peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Amen.
Thank you.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Really? Is that old playground line true? It's a modern proverb of the last couple of centuries. No doubt it's intended to build defense and resilience in those being verbally bullied. But do words really have no power or impact? Will they never hurt us? Here's a striking proverb, and a much older one, with which we might begin. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who eat it will love its fruit. The power of the tongue, the power of words, and listen, I'm going to speak about the tongue as a metaphor for us communicating words, whether spoken or written or texted. There is a difference, isn't there, between speaking and writing. For example, we can speak words very easily without thinking, but there's a bit more of a thought process when it comes to writing or typing, although that doesn't mean that what we write is always thought through. We'll maybe touch on that next week, but let's just generally think about the power and impact of words we communicate. The power of words, says Proverbs, is life and death. Words have the power to bring joy and hope. They can be life-giving. They have the power to bring hurt and bitterness. They can be a killer. They can build up or tear down, as we've said. And for all we might say, ach, it's just words from one mouth, the impact can be huge. James, who wrote the letter in the New Testament that we have, seems like he was probably reading Proverbs when he was writing it. He talks about the tongue too. Here's what he says. It's in the Message translation about that small device in our heads. He says, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. This morning, I want to expand a bit on that power of words for good or ill, to build up or tear down. And I want to do that in three particular ways that I think Proverbs points out to help us take that power seriously. First of all, Proverbs helps us see the penetrating power of words on the one who hears them. Think for a moment, just think for a moment of a time when you were encouraged, really encouraged by someone's words to you. And conversely, think of a time when you were hurt or badly affected by something someone said to you. How did it affect you? How did it feel? Listen to these proverbs, a couple of them will come up. Reckless words pierce like a sword, or rash words are like sword thrusts. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue that brings healing or soothing is a tree of life. But a deceitful or perverse tongue crushes the spirit. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain. They cut us to the core, don't they? They wind us. They leave us reeling. They blow our self-esteem. From a heated jibe to careless banter. And let me say how careless banter can be. What we think is just funny on the surface can unknowingly pierce someone deeply. For many things, we can go away wounded from something that was said or a message we received. With his mouth, says Proverbs 11:9, the godless destroys his neighbor. Or, as it says up here, evil words destroy one's friends. It's not true that words will never hurt me, is it? Godless use of words can be deep down destructive. The words of a gossip are choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Not only are we affected deep down by what's said about us, we're affected deep down by what's said about others to us. That sly rumor that was spread now starts to change the way I think about that person who's at the heart of it. And I can't forget it. I've let tasty gossip change my whole attitude to them, maybe my whole relationship with them. A gossip separates close friends. Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet, says Proverbs 29:5. My insincerity to someone, my buttering someone up with things that aren't true about them, might leave them later to fall foul of having a completely wrong view of themselves or what they can do. Think about the penetrating power of words that you've experienced. Think about the power we have with our words to inflict that on others. And yet words can be powerfully, penetratingly life-giving, can't they? Like a life-giving fountain or tree of life, says Proverbs. Words can bring healing to our souls. An anxious heart weighs a person down, but a kind word cheers them up. How powerfully a few words can lift the gloom, lift the weight from our shoulders and change our whole outlook. How good is a timely word, says Proverbs 15:23. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And I haven't got a picture of this, but an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Words can have a powerfully good effect on how we feel, on our mood, on our situation. How liberating and energizing good words can be. That word of encouragement when I needed it, that advice that changed how I approached things at just the right moment, that text that came when I needed to see it. How helpful and healing have you found that at times? What power we have to deliver that for others. But words aren't just powerful in the way they penetrate and affect us as individuals, for good or ill. Words are prolific in the way they spread. We have a word for this, a term for this nowadays, don't we, that seems particularly apt in a pandemic. We talk of things going viral. But words have always gone viral. Before saying things went viral, we used to say they spread like wildfire. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire, says Proverbs 16:27. And perhaps James has that in mind when he wrote of the tongue, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Just look at how words have spread this week, if you've watched the news. What did Boris say in the Cabinet Office? Or what did Dominic Cummings say that Boris said in the Cabinet Office? Or what is the media saying Dominic Cummings said about Boris? Words spreading everywhere. Former Formula One boss Max Mosley died during the week. A friend of his lamented on the radio, whether this is justified or not, that Mosley will not be remembered for any good he did, but for what was printed about him in the newspapers. Or Arlene Foster, having to go to court because a slanderous line was published about her. Words spread. Now, says Proverbs, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. Proverbs 11:11. Words can spread and have a powerful and wide effect for good, can't they? Timely speeches can be great for a community or a nation. You can think of Martin Luther King, "I have a dream," and how that spread for a nation. Christians shaped by and speaking God's words can be real salt and light in a society, in a city. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone, says Proverbs 25:15. Words used well can change the course of countries for good in powerful ways. But by the mouth of the wicked, a city is destroyed. I'm not calling any of those I've mentioned from this week's news wicked, but it's clear again and again how foolish words can also bring widespread hurt and damage across societies and governments. And we don't have to look at big figures in society, do we? What about the prolific power of our own words to spread? Words spoken in a classroom, to children and grandchildren that they'll pass on, in a work meeting with colleagues. Words put online that will spread through social media. These can have great effect. Proverbs 10:17 says, "He who heeds discipline shows the way to life. So the lips of the wise spread knowledge and can nourish many," says Proverbs. Our words can be like a fountain of life in that classroom, in that home, in that workplace. But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. What is the power of our ill-disciplined, thoughtless words in these situations? Words that are like toothpaste that's now out of the tube and you just can't get it back in. Words that give a bad witness to Christ, now spreading like wildfire. Words, when they are out there, have a prolific power to spread, for good or ill. And thirdly and lastly, words don't just have power to penetrate or to spread for good or ill amongst those who hear them. They have a personal power in here, in us as we speak them. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. What a privilege, what a joy to be the bringer of good news or encouragement. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. How wonderful to know that something you said made a difference to someone. And that sort of thing builds a good reputation, doesn't it? The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. People increasingly recognize what we have to say is valuable when our words are well chosen. And he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue, says Proverbs. There's a godly, wise reputation for being sincere, which is ultimately valued and lasting. And of course, that picture of words being like a fountain of life or a tree of life picks up on big biblical pictures of salvation and new creation, such that words that are about hope in Jesus and words that are flavored with hope in Jesus can have a real eternal impact and involve us in God's kingdom work. What great things we can be saying to others. And what a great thing for us to be involved in as we speak about Jesus to others, just as we are praying and continue to pray. But the impact of foolish words on us. Well, listen to James again from the Message. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. James sums up not only the powerful effect of our words on others, but on us too. And it's what Proverbs teaches, that both the chattering fool and he who speaks rashly will come to ruin, that he whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble, that a false witness will not go unpunished, that a fool's lips bring him strife and his mouth invites a beating. It's not just that the truth will find our lies out, although it will, or that what we say or might have said recklessly in the past will come back to haunt us or land us in trouble. More than that, it will affect our reputation as those whose words can or can't be trusted. As a gossip, a flatterer, people whose words don't carry much value. More than that, though, what is it saying about our own hearts and minds when we end up valuing truth less and using words more cruelly and carelessly? What is it doing to us? Where are our words taking us? Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Matthew's gospel, he carries on. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. In the end, our words all come back to the matter of the heart, as we'll see again next week. The powerful device in our heads is controlled much deeper within and affects us deep within too. The verse with which we began, Proverbs 18:21, says this: the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who eat it will love its fruit. The second part of that, those who love it will eat its fruit, is really asking us a question about our hearts. What do we love? What do we want to do with our words, given the power that they have? What fruit will we love to see from our heartfelt words? To build up or to tear down? Do we appreciate the power of our words on others and on ourselves? As the Message translates that verse, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Goodness, all this might make us think that we should never speak again. Proverbs perhaps errs towards us not speaking, or at least speaking a lot less. In another verse we'll come back to next week, we hear, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. James says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. James also says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. A verse that causes me great apprehension in the use of my words. The truth is, though, words in themselves are not bad. God has revealed himself to us through his words and his living word, Jesus. Through his words, we may know forgiveness. Because for all the powerfully challenging words we have heard, not least from the lips of Christ, we may also hear him say as we come to him, friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus speaks powerful words of restoration, of healing, and of the power in us to speak more wisely. Words are great. We just need to remember how powerful they are and be wise about our hearts and our lips. I had much more I could have said this morning about the limitation, indeed, of words, perhaps next week. But that's more than enough I've said today. But I want us to pause for a moment or two now. Take a moment or two in quiet and thank God for those who have encouraged you with good words. Maybe confess those times when we've hurt others with our words. Maybe we need a moment to let God heal us where we've been hurt by others' words. Maybe take some time to ask God to help us see the power of our words and be wise in what we say. Take a moment or two in quiet, and then we're going to sing. We'll remain seated as we sing in response, O great God of highest heaven. And then Nick is going to come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We thank thee that you are God who speaks to us. You speak to us through Scripture. Your word, written thousands of years ago, lets us know...
Ben, I think I might be having a nosebleed. We'll carry on praying.
Lord, your word, written thousands of years ago, lets us know the life-saving truth of Jesus, truth that will never be diminished by the passing of time. Thank you that within your Bible are the powerful words from Jesus' own lips that reveal to us your true character and provide us with a perfect example of how to love, encourage, and proclaim our faith to others around us. Lord, we recognize that Jesus did not come to earth as a military dictator to impose his will, but as a Prince of Peace, whose words people flocked to the hills to hear. No one was excluded from his ministry, and he brought the good news to all people. Lord, help us to be your bold witnesses in every situation we find ourselves in, to demonstrate your love to everyone we encounter. Father God, forgive us for the countless missed opportunities we have had to speak gently and kindly to those around us, because we're too caught up in our own lives to allow you to work through us. We're sorry, Lord, that despite your Son's death on a cross for our sake, we have stood by and, like Simon Peter, denied you in moments of weakness or fear of judgment. We can think of so many times where our words have hurt others and we've been oblivious to the powerful, lasting damage they can cause. Also times when we fail to forgive others for what they've said to us. Forgive us, Lord. Give us wisdom and strength to overcome our pride and to give others a glimpse of the ultimate forgiveness that you accomplished on the cross. Heavenly Lord, sometimes it can feel like the thousands of words we read or hear daily from social media or books and TV just serve a purpose of drowning you out. All the focus on our outward appearance and comparing ourselves to friends and strangers can leave us feeling lonely and distracted from your kingdom's call. Please help us to exercise self-control and provide us with perspective to use social media wisely. Lord, as we begin to see life returning to pre-pandemic normality with fewer restrictions and more opportunities to spend time together, we give you thanks for the wonderful work done by health professionals and researchers in developing and distributing the COVID vaccine. It is such a privilege to have access to this and the reassurance that comes with knowing our loved ones are protected. But Lord, we're keenly aware of so many people, both here and worldwide, who are still suffering desperately from illness and isolation and poverty related to the COVID-19 pandemic. In particular, we think of India and Brazil, where the disease continues to destroy communities and where healthcare systems have been brought to the brink of collapse. Help us, Lord, to be generous in our giving, and to be ever mindful that we all have a responsibility to keep praying for and lifting up the vulnerable across the globe to you. Lord, we ask that those in positions of power would work together in a spirit of compassion and cooperation to share resources and care for those beyond the borders of their own lands. Lord, it breaks our hearts to see the recent violence in Gaza. We've seen the pictures on the news of missiles reducing people's homes to rubble and the weeping of families who have lost loved ones in this fighting. We remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, his teaching about your kingdom of love, the miracles that he performed there, and the new hope that he gave to so many people from every faith and culture. In the aftermath of the ceasefire that has been agreed, please send your Holy Spirit to direct the rhetoric on both sides away from claims of victory over the other and towards a lasting peace in this region. Father, you are a God who knows every dear soul on earth. You made us and you love us. Please surround the people in Gaza with your comfort and strong protection. May they know you and run to you with outstretched arms, knowing that they will be safe. Closer to home, Lord, we pray for the changes within the political leadership of Northern Ireland. We ask that both of the main ruling parties will be able to meet the challenges of power sharing, to provide fair representation for all people in this country. Please, Lord, give them wisdom and discernment as they make plans and policies, in particular relating to new legislation resulting from Brexit and the changes to the health system here. Lord, may they put aside personal incentives and ambition and be motivated to make choices that benefit the entire population, to preserve peace in this country. Lord, in the world of politics, choice of words can be a matter of such gravity. Please work through both the mouth of the speaker and through the ears of the listener to allow for productive dialogue to take place. Father God, thank you for the blessing of our church family. Thank you that you call us to live in fellowship with one another. We're increasingly reminded of the joy that you bring in meeting and worshiping together as life moves on with less restriction. Lord God, bless our staff team as they lead us in this way. Give them passion, energy, and strength to bring your word to life and encourage each of us in our faith. We ask that you would equip all those with positions of leadership in SRPC with a united vision and hope for future plans in our church to serve our community and build your kingdom here. Lord God, thank you for calling us to your mission to spread the news of the gospel to every corner of the earth. We ask that you would use us. Give us your words to really reach others. Strengthen and guide us. May we be worthy ambassadors of our faith in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks to Nick and Rebecca for writing those prayers. We're going to close as we sing Love Divine. Let's stand and sing together. Well, let's use great words in a great way as we send each other out with the words of the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord